If you got your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we'll be there in just a minute. I've had several of you who have asked me. I'll tell you a couple things about my triathlon. Last week at this time, I was just getting going on the bike for 7 hours, but I got all 116 miles rode, swam those 2.4 miles, whew, and then a marathon. But I finished it in about 15 and a half hours. Took me a couple more hours than I really wanted, but it was amazing. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Good to be back with you this morning. I've told a couple people those things that are so important about a triathlon. Number one is that you finish, and number two is that you survive. So I finished both of those, and here we are back this morning. We're going to finish up this morning with our sermon series that we've been looking at over the last several weeks, entitled One Another. The fact that there are so many places in the Scriptures where the Bible says one another, things that we are supposed to do as one another's, as followers of Christ. And those things are fascinating when we look at all the different ones. You've heard those sermons about confess your sins one to another, to pray for one another, to teach and admonish one another, to be kind and to be compassionate to one another. We studied one that talked about that we are supposed to be forgiving of one another. We've had two different sermons about love one another. That's sometimes easier said than done. I told you this, but there are 59 different places where the Scriptures talk about, I believe it's 59 different one another's that are listed in the Scriptures. Some of those are duplicated. In our language, one another is two words. But in the Greek language that the New Testament was written in, it's just one word, allelon. That one word is used 94 times, I believe it is, in the New Testament. When we get down to the fact that I was going to preach a six-part sermon series over one another, allelon, and that's listed 100 times or used 100 different times, that particular word in the Scriptures, you kind of get down to a place where you go, okay, all of them are important, but which ones are the ones that I really want to share? And so I prayed about that and thought about it, and I got down where there were two that were left, and I only have one sermon. And so I thought instead of maybe teaching you on one of them, it would be easier to explain. Maybe not explain, but to teach you on the one this morning, but the other one to kind of give you an example. Four different times in the Scriptures, in Romans chapter 16, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and in 1 Peter chapter 5, it gives us another one another that I thought it would be easier to example it for you than it would be to teach you on it this morning and get to look at the other one. That one that it repeats four different times is this: greet one another with a holy kiss. I thought it would be easier to example that for you. So Jay Combs, come up here for me with just a minute. No, he's the man, isn't he, Brent? I heard he was the man. But really, I think it's important for us to have fun while we're at church. Now I know you owe me one, Jay. I'm going to have to keep an eye out this week, aren't I? But really, what I want us to look at this morning is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look at a good part of chapter 5 and the first couple of verses of chapter 6, but instead of reading all of them to you at the beginning, I want us to just walk through them a little bit at a time. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13, 14, and 15 say this: "For you were called to be free, brothers. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for flesh, but serve one another through love. For the entire law is fulfilled in one statement: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out or you'll be consumed by one another." Now, some of you probably didn't pay any attention to the fact that I wore a different jersey to preach in. I thought there was some of you that might not be able to concentrate if I got on an Oklahoma Sooner or something up here. That's the only amen I'll probably get this morning right there. It's all downhill from here. All right? But I would also tell you this, the only guy that I ever got an opportunity to coach during my youth ministry days as a volunteer coach was Jermaine Gresham. He's the only one I ever coached that played in the NFL, so I thought I would wear his jersey this morning, but mostly to give some of you Oklahoma Staters or Texas Longhorners or Texas Tech Red Raiders or Florida State Seminoles. That was in good. Y'all practiced that. You did good. Both of you gave us the Florida State Atlanta Braves chop, but that was terrible, wasn't it, Alex? But at any rate, I want you to see this morning when we look at those verses, the fact that we are free, it says, for you were called to be free, that we have freedom to choose, but it's important that we choose wisely. We're free in the sense to choose, but we're free from what? We're free from the law of Moses. That's what Paul is telling us here, the law of the Old Testament, that we don't live under the law of Old Testament anymore. We live under the law of the New Testament. We live under the grace of the New Testament, the covenant of Christ, as opposed to the old covenant in the Old Testament, that we have an opportunity. It's amazing at people who still operate, even us, but especially people who are not involved in church and don't understand grace and don't understand mercy and don't understand forgiveness and don't understand that there's a new covenant. I'm amazed at the people who still continue to live under the old law, even a good number of us, that we don't understand that we are free from that law. That Jesus died and gave us freedom. When I was coming back from Chattanooga, Tennessee last week, Christy and I stopped for dinner in Texarkana, Texas. Now, one of the things I would do about every hour and a half or 2 hours under doctor's orders, I would stop and get out and walk. Now, every time when I'd get out and walk, boy, the first about 15 steps were a little rough. Man, I'd just get stiff riding in the car and I'd get out and walk. But in Texarkana, when I got out of the car and I would walk, we went in and ordered at a restaurant. And while we were waiting on our food, I just went and made laps around the restaurant. And about my second or third lap, there was a guy standing in the back of the restaurant, outside in the parking lot, all by himself. And I walked up and talked to him just a minute. We got to visit just a little bit, and he was a veteran, and we got to talk a little bit about that. And then I got to talk to him a little bit about if he went to church there in Texarkana. And then I asked him, if Jesus came back, do you think you'd go to heaven? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, what makes you think that? And he said, well, because I do a lot of good things. And I just think there's so many people in our world today, even some of us, who forget that we're free from the law. We're not saved by what we do. If you're relying on the fact that you have more good things that you do in life than bad things you do in life to get to heaven, you're in trouble. Because the Bible says it only takes one bad thing to keep you out of heaven. But it takes one good thing, Jesus Christ, to get you into heaven. And I want you to know that we're free from the law this morning. We're free to make our choices. And it's important that we make wise choices. The scriptures say that we should choose the Spirit. It says that we serve one another through love. Now, that's something that we have to choose. We have to choose to operate by the Holy Spirit as Christ followers who lives in our lives. We have to choose the Spirit. And when we do, one of the evidences of the fact that we choose wisely the Holy Spirit in our lives is that we will love and serve one another. Now, there is the opposite side as well, that you could choose the flesh. It says in verse 15, it says, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. The fact is, we do have the opportunity to choose the Spirit, but we do have the opportunity to choose the flesh. But it talks about that law. It talks about in verse 14, for the entire law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. Think of all of the laws. You can't possibly think of all of them. But think of all of the rules and the parameters in the Old Testament, of the Old Covenant, the law of Moses. We could not possibly keep up with all of those. But in relation to each other, what Paul tells us in Galatians is that if we were to take all of those laws and boil them down, push them together, smash them into one, here's that one, love each other. And if we will love each other, that encumbers all of the laws of the Old Testament, all the laws of Moses. For us to understand that, I think it's significant that in our world, so many times when we think about things that maybe if we enter into a business transaction, you buy or sell something and I buy or sell something, or maybe you get to go a place or I get to go a place, but in things we do in transactions in our world, and not all of those are financial, but just in things we do in general, we all understand if something is win-win, it's good for both of us. The ones that are really easy are the ones that are win-win. They're good for you. They're good for me. Let's do that. That's a good transaction if we both win. Sometimes it's win-lose. I've been a part of a couple of those where one of the people won and one of the people didn't come out so well. It didn't work out so well. I've been a part of it a few times where it wasn't win-win or win-lose, but it was lose-lose. It wasn't good for either one of us. Maybe we got in an argument, or maybe we got sideways, or maybe there was a misunderstanding, and it was just lose-lose. But I would tell you this. When we understand freedom that we have in Christ to choose the Spirit, when we choose the Spirit as opposed to choosing the flesh, I want you to know this, it's not win-win. When we choose the Spirit, it's win-win-win. Here's why. Because there are three parties involved in every decision we make as Christ followers. You see, when I choose the Spirit, I win. Because I'm obedient to the best plan for my life that God has. But when I choose the Spirit, you win. Whatever transaction you and I have going at that time, whether it's a financial one or a relational one or whatever the case may be, when I choose the Spirit, I win. And when I choose the Spirit, you win. And when I choose the Spirit, I win and you win and God wins, because that's what God has commanded us to do. And to be totally honest with you, that's one of the things that's missing in our world today, is so many of our transactions are two. Win, win. But when we choose the Spirit, it's win, win, win. We have the freedom to choose, so choose wisely. Look at verse 16. Paul says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do what you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. That's what the scriptures say. And anything similar to those. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, we must also follow the Spirit. We must not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Not only is it significant that we have freedom to choose and that we choose wisely, but we must choose to serve one another. That's another one another in the scriptures. Even in this small section of the scriptures, we get a second one, to choose to serve one another. Now it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And then it goes on to explain that the flesh and the Spirit stand in direct opposition to each other. I want you to know this. You have to choose the Spirit. Here's why. Because if you do not actively and intentionally choose the Spirit, all of us will naturally default to the flesh. If you don't intentionally and deliberately choose the Spirit to be obedient to what God leads you to do, all of us naturally default to the flesh. We all naturally think of what's best for us. We all naturally think of what would go against what God would call us to do. It's just natural for each one of us. The flesh is our default, but the fact is we must choose one or the other, because the scriptures say they are in direct opposition to each other. You see, you cannot operate out of the flesh and out of the Spirit at the same time. Do you realize if you broke your day down into seconds, every second you are either serving the flesh or you are serving the Spirit, but there is not one second in any of our days, in any of our lives, that we're serving the flesh and the Spirit at the same time. They're opposed to each other. I think it's interesting when you get over to chapter 5, verse 22, when it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, after it lists all of the sins, the things that we do when we operate out of the flesh, then it says in verse 22, but when you operate out of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithful, gentleness, and self-control. We all know that list. But here's what I want you to catch. Look in your Bible, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Right where you are, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and I want you to look at the word fruit. How many of you, does your Bible say fruits, plural? Because we always talk about the fruits of the Spirit. But if you look in your Bible, every one of us, our Bible doesn't say fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Why is that important? Here's why it's important. Because you don't get to pick out of that list. The fruit of the Spirit, for us as Christ followers, when we choose the Spirit, the evidence of that in our life is the fruit of the Spirit, which is all of those, not any one of those. It's single, the fruit of the Spirit. And so many times we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. It's not plural fruits. It's singular fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I think it's interesting when we look at it too, that the first one that it lists as the fruit of the Spirit, it lists love. Now, don't flip over there. I just want you to listen. But the Bible gives us a definition of love. We talked about this on Wednesday night. By the way, if you're not a part of our Wednesday night Bible study, you should join us. It's at 6 o'clock right here. Man, the crowd just continues to grow. We have a great time of prayer. Get to walk through a Bible study for about 30 minutes and spend a little while in time in prayer, and I give you things to pray for. We'd love for you to join us. Bring your kiddos and send them over with Alex, or bring your students and send them over with Josh or Drew. And if you don't have any that live at home anymore, then it makes it easy. You just come and join us at 6. But we were looking at that this week. The Bible gives us a great definition for the word love, for the fruit of the Spirit, love. It says this: love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy, it is not boastful, it is not conceited, it does not act improperly, it is not selfish, it is not provoked, and it does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. I was telling the group on Wednesday night, we listed those out. So many times we pray that God would help us to love, but then we don't think about what that really means. You see, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it is not boastful. It is not self-seeking, it is not rude. It keeps no record of wrongs. When you think about it in terms of Jesus, could you truly say about love, Jesus is patient, Jesus is kind? Jesus does not keep a record of wrongs. He does not envy. He rejoices with the truth. He believes all things, hopes all things, trusts all things, and serves all things. Certainly, you could put Jesus' name right in there, and it fits right in the definition. What we talked about on Wednesday night was this. Could you do that? Randy is patient. Randy is kind. How far could you get in that list? Randy does not envy, and he's not boastful, and he's not conceited. Randy does not act improperly, and is not selfish, and he's not provoked, and he does not keep a record of wrongs. I wonder how you stack up in that. I know how I stack up in that, and when I think in those terms, I think for me we should pray specifically not just that God would help us to love, but that we would pray that God would help us to do these things. When I think about love this week, I think we got to see a great example of it. I don't know how many of you have followed the trial of the Dallas police officer who walked into an apartment thinking it was hers, but it wasn't hers. It was another man's, and she was a police officer, and when she walked in thinking it was her apartment and he was in there, it wasn't her apartment. It was his apartment, but she shot him and killed him. And they had the trial this week, and they found her guilty of murder. But after the trial was all over, the guy who got killed, his little brother, was on the stand. If you didn't get to see the video this morning, thinking in terms of love, I want you to watch this, at least just a little bit of it. This is the murdered man's little brother.
I don't want to say twice or for the 100th time what you've or how much you've taken from us. I think you know that. But I just, I hope you go to God with all the guilt, all the bad things you may have done in the past. Each and every one of us may have done something that we're not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even behalf of my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but Can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Just an FYI for you. That is totally a protocol. In a court. That you'd let me hug the deceased brother. Now let me ask you a question. Now before I say this, I want to give you a heads up. This is yes. This is no. Did he strike you as genuine? He really did me too. I was impressed. That's a lot of maturity on the part of an 18-year-old. But you know how he could do that? Because he was operating in the Spirit. He got it. He got it. And he was willing to love her even though she had taken something from him. I want you to know everywhere you read in the Scripture, but especially look at just at verse 22, it's easy. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, again, that's a capital S. You know why? Because it's talking about the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. Not just any old spirit, capital S. Proper pronoun, proper name, Holy Spirit, capital S. I want you to know this. That's significant because without the Holy Spirit, He could not have done that. And without the Holy Spirit, you cannot do what God calls you to do either. It cannot happen. Without the Holy Spirit. What's fascinating is When he asked if he could hug her, did you notice everything just kind of came to a screeching halt in the court? It went silent. That's totally against protocol. You just can't do that. And no one knew what to say. And then he said, please? And the judge said, yes, you can. I don't know how many of you followed this story, but if you read the rest of this throughout the week, when court was over and adjourned and done, the judge came down off of the bench and went and talked to the lady for just a minute, and then she left and went back into the judge's chambers, and when she came back, she had a book. And she gave that book to the lady. That book was a Bible. The court reporters could hear a little of the conversation, and the court reporter said that she told her, hey, I have three or four of these at home. You have this one. And while you're in jail, you need to make this your life's work. And they didn't catch it, but the lady must have said something to her about, you are a good lady. And you know what the judge said? Listen to this. The judge said, ma'am, it is not because I am good, it's because I believe in Christ. I'm going to tell you, the victim's brother and the judge were operating by the Spirit in a very difficult circumstance. But when you operate by the Spirit, it'll be right and it'll be noticeable and it'll be different. But it can't be done without the Spirit. By the way, I can't remember her name. I think it was Lamb, Judge Lamb. You should add her to your prayers this morning, because you can imagine the idiots have gone crazy about a judge giving somebody a Bible. They're on her this morning. I read it a little bit before church. Pray for her this week. Stand strong. Speak out yourself, but do it in the Spirit. You got the freedom to choose, so choose wisely. But for us, we must choose to serve one another. It says, do not provoke one another or envy one another. That's just, don't let your driving factor be conceit or be pride, or as the King James Version says, vainglory. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. Operate in the Spirit so He gets the glory. And then lastly, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourself so you also won't be tempted. Verse 2, carry one another's burdens. There's another, one another. Carry one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's interesting. But what happens when the flesh is chosen over the Spirit? What happens when you and I choose the flesh instead of the Spirit? It says, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, that they choose the flesh, that they're operating in their default. It says that then for us who are operating in the Spirit, you who are spiritual and operating in the Spirit should restore such a person. Now there's three key words in that phrase. You who are spiritual should restore such a person. The first one is this, it should. You who are spiritual should. That means it's an obligation, it's a command, it's an expectation. We live in a world that says if somebody else is doing wrong, don't you say anything. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says for us as Christ followers, if we know what they're doing is wrong and we don't say something about it, we are guilty as they are guilty. The Bible says for those of you who are spiritual, you should, if you see someone do wrongdoing, you should say something. But it says you should restore. The whole idea, restore. They've been stored before. Speak to them. I think that gives the idea that they've been saved before. It's different. The rules are different if somebody's not a Christ follower. You got to handle them in a different way. Should you speak love to them? Should you admonish them? Yes, but you got to be careful how you do it. But for those of us who are being restored because we've been saved and stored before, it said that we should restore them, to return them to their previous walk, to being obedient, to being who God wants them to be. You who are spiritual should restore. Third key word in this is you who are spiritual. You who are walking by faith. You who are being faithful and obedient. You who are choosing the flesh over the spirit. You got to be careful, because sometimes we have a tendency that we want to admonish people when we're not walking in the spirit, and that calls for an apology. When you restore, when you speak, you should be walking in the spirit yourself prior to that. Why? But so that we handle it in the right way, with a gentle spirit. And also, because the scriptures say when you do that, you better watch out for yourself. You know why? Because the second that you speak up to someone else about something they shouldn't be doing, guess what the devil's going to do? He's fixing to turn the heat up on you. Because if you correct and then you fail, that makes your correction worthless. So get ready. When you correct, and by the way, you should correct. But when you do correct, get ready. The devil's going to turn the heat up on you a little bit. So be prepared in that process. Then it says, carry one another's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of, not Moses, the law of Christ. That's what we're called to do. How do we fulfill the law of Christ? By bearing one another's burdens. By serving one another. By restoring each other, by loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's really the key to all the one another's, is love your neighbor as yourself. Let me pray for you this morning.